It's April, and again this year, airliners are grounded. Another helicopter is down in the North Atlantic. And have your date of birth ready when you buy an airline ticket. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, April 2nd, 2009. 1 year, almost to the day, after over 3,000 flights were canceled for FAA-mandated safety checks on aircraft operated by American Airlines last year, a regional operator for Delta Airlines said yesterday it grounded several dozen 50-seat regional jets to check for compliance with proper maintenance. The Associated Press reports Atlantic Southeast Airlines grounded 60 of its 112 Bombardier CRJ-200s after internal audits raised questions about whether inspections of the aircraft's engines had been performed. ASA spokeswoman Kate Modello tells the Atlanta Journal-Constitution the airline notified the FAA and voluntarily pulled the aircraft out of service. She added that passengers, quote, are being reaccommodated on next available flights, unquote. Modello added that ASA began the inspections Tuesday night at maintenance centers around the country, and those checks should be completed and all affected aircraft back in service by sometime tonight. At least 8 bodies have been recovered following yesterday's ditching of a Eurocopter EC-225 Super Puma off the northeast coast of Scotland. Search crews are looking for 8 more people reported to have been on board. The Associated Press reports the helicopter was carrying 14 oil workers. Britain's Maritime and Coast Guard Agency dispatched 2 RAF helicopters and a Nimrod reconnaissance aircraft to join several search boats already at the scene. All people on board the Eurocopter were in survival suits. Crews found 2 overturned life rafts in the water near the recovered bodies. The accident comes less than 6 weeks after another Super Puma was forced to ditch in the North Sea. All 16 occupants were rescued in that one. Watch for updates at aero-news.net. The FAA's annual aviation forecast was released on Tuesday. The 16-year look ahead acknowledges current economic conditions in predicting passenger airline employments will drop 7.8% in 2009. Starting in 2010, the FAA sees a 15-year period in which air travel will be up an average of 2.7% per year. Not surprisingly, the agency says that growth makes action on next-gen air traffic control an urgent matter, claiming that delays in system modernization are costing the nation an average of $9.4 billion a year. The FAA says the newer technology would also improve safety and reduce fuel burn, carbon emissions, and noise. The U.S. Transportation Security Administration says it's moving forward with Secure Flight. That's a program that will consolidate vetting of airline passengers against the watch list within TSA. The agency has blamed a majority of cases of false alarms on airline personnel who have improperly denied boarding to people with names similar to those on the list. The new system will bring not only more consistent application, but a new layer of resolution. Because under Secure Flight, airlines will gather a passenger's full name, date of birth, and sex when making an airline reservation to determine if the passenger is a match to the no-fly or selectee lists. The additional detail is intended to help prevent misidentification. The shift of responsibility from the airlines to the TSA was a key recommendation of the 9/11 Commission. Secure Flight will take some time to roll out. TSA says its goal is to vet passengers on 100% of all domestic commercial flights by early next year, and 100% of all international commercial flights by the end of 2010. Up next on ANN, Chicago extends the financing deadline for private investors taking over Midway Airport. The state of Georgia might have a citation for sale. And AOPA welcomes Andrew Broom. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4 Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 2nd. I'm Paul Plack. The city of Chicago, which is expecting a big payday when private investors take over Midway Airport, has given lead investor City Infrastructure Investors another 6 months to raise the cash to pay for the 99-year lease. City has partnered with YVR Airport Services and John Hancock Life Insurance in the deal, which will put $2.5 billion into city coffers. As with everything else lately, getting the financing done has been the hard part. Jody Kawada, Deputy Press Secretary for Chicago Mayor Richard Daley, told the New York Times, quote, "Because the city continues to feel that this deal will provide great benefit to Chicago taxpayers and residents, including $900 million to invest in city infrastructure, we may allow some extra time to ensure we're doing everything we can to close this transaction if possible and preserve that benefit," unquote. If city cannot obtain financing, the group forfeits a $126 million letter of credit it gave to the city to secure the deal. So either way, Chicago comes out okay. As she reminded us on the campaign trail last fall, Alaska Governor Sarah Palin famously listed her office's West Wind 2 executive jet on eBay when she decided it was overkill for the needs of her office. Now, the Associated Press reports Lieutenant Governor Casey Cagle wants to sell an underutilized 1984 Cessna Citation to raise $1 million-plus toward his state's budget gap. In a letter obtained by the AP, Cagle asked Transportation Board Chairman Bill Kulke, quote, "If this is the case, considering our state is in need to cut expenses, please move forward in selling this plane," unquote. $1 million seems like a drop in the bucket against a state deficit of $1.6 billion, but Cagle says every little bit helps. Quote, "During these times, our state can't afford private jet spending on a minivan budget," unquote. Cagle, by the way, is seeking the Republican nomination for governor in 2010, when Governor Sonny Perdue's second term expires. Selling the plane for what it's worth could be tricky right now. Aviation investment consultant Brian Foley says the number of small used jets listed for sale will constitute 20% of the world's active fleet by mid-year. Even before we were officially in a recession, Alaska's jet didn't find any takers on eBay in 2006. It was eventually sold the next year to an Alaskan businessman for $2.1 million, $400,000 less than its asking price. Airline execs who got too aggressive hedging their fuel last July, when oil was trading at $147 a barrel, found themselves unable to reap the benefits when oil fell 75% in the last quarter of 2008. The Wall Street Journal reports most large U.S. domestic airlines paid out big bucks to get out of those futures contracts. Even Southwest Airlines, which used hedging to great competitive advantage in the past, got burned and has now reduced its fuel hedges to near zero, according to CEO Gary Kelly. But as oil bounces off the bottom and prepares to head back up in price, the Journal reports carriers are moving back into hedging, but using contracts which allow backing out and buying fuel at current market rates if oil prices fall again. Upfront costs of these derivatives are higher, but not as high as the write-downs airlines took getting out of their previous contracts. AirTran reported half of its 2008 loss of $274 million was the fault of fuel hedging. By the end of the year, AirTran was back to hedging only 9% of its 2009 needs, but says it's now back up to 35%. After its experience last year, Southwest is also sitting largely unhedged. But spokeswoman Brandi King says the company is, quote, "poised to move back into the hedging game at the appropriate time," unquote. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association this week is welcoming a new VP of Communications. Andrew Broom was most recently the Director of Communications and Public Affairs for Hawker Beechcraft, where he's credited with creating and administering a global public relations, government affairs, and internal communications strategic plan that included three new product launches and generated a significant increase in positive news coverage for the company. His resume also includes work with Eclipse Aviation, Gamma, and Embry-Riddle. Karen Gephardt, AOPA's Executive VP of Communications, says Broom is a solid addition. Quote, "His broad background in general aviation and his demonstrated commitment to strategic communications will unequivocally help our association," unquote. Broom is a commercial pilot and instrument-rated flight instructor. Still ahead, Icon Aircraft's CEO finally gets to fly the prototype. American Airlines makes Gogo in-flight Wi-Fi permanent. And the U.S. Army honors a modern pioneer. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wass GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're going to fly in the soup, you got to have an opener. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, April 2nd. I'm Paul Plack. Well, it's about time. Icon Aircraft founder and CEO Kirk Hawkins, who has spent almost a year hosting unveiling ceremonies for his company's stunning-looking A5 amphibious lightsport aircraft, finally got his first stick time in the prototype on March 11th. The development team let the boss fly the plane as part of user trials at Lake Isabella in Kern County, California. That's the same place the company's completed more than 45 test flights so far. Hawkins says he's flown everything from ultralights to fighter jets and wasn't expecting to be blown away. Quote, "I think my first comment after the 30-minute flight when our ground crew opened the canopy was, wow, this thing rocks. I may have just had as much fun flying as I've ever had," unquote. Hawkins is only the second pilot to fly the prototype, following John Karkow, lead aero engineer and chief test pilot for Icon. Hawkins seemed especially impressed by the craft's handling on the water. Quote, "In fact, on my first takeoff, I actually did not touch the stick until rotation. The A5 smoothly climbed up onto the step and accelerated effortlessly and quickly to takeoff speed. This is not typical for many seaplanes," unquote. Icon reported completion of Phase 1 testing of the A5 prototype in January. First deliveries to customers are expected in late 2010. Icon says more than 350 buyers have placed deposits. The estimated base price is $139,000. American Airlines has announced its offering of Gogo's in-flight Wi-Fi service has been a hit and is now moving from trials to installation on 300 aircraft. American's Executive VP of Marketing, Dan Garten, says the trial, quote, "gave us the ability to study customers' willingness to take advantage of high-speed onboard connectivity and to gauge how the service performed technically in a variety of settings over an extended period of time. We're pleased that the results were positive and that we've decided to move forward," unquote. Gogo turns an airliner into a Wi-Fi hotspot, enabling passengers to surf the web, check email, send instant messages, access a corporate virtual private network, and more. The price is $795 to $1295 based on the length of the flight and whether the device is a handheld PDA or laptop computer. In deference to overwhelming public opinion, cell phone and voice over internet protocol service will not be available. NASA will honor astronaut James Lovell Jr. with a presentation of the Ambassador of Exploration Award for his contributions to the U.S. space program. During a ceremony tomorrow, Lovell will accept the award at the Patuxent River Naval Air Museum in Lexington Park, Maryland, and present it to the museum for display. The award honors the first generation of explorers in the Mercury, Gemini, and Apollo space programs for realizing America's goal of going to the moon. The award is a moon rock encased in lucite, mounted for public display. The rock is part of the 842 pounds of lunar samples collected during six Apollo expeditions between 1969 and 72. Lovell is a Cleveland native, a 1952 graduate of the U.S. Naval Academy, and spent 4 years as a test pilot at what today is called the Patuxent River Naval Air Station. He was the pilot for the Gemini 7 mission, the command pilot for Gemini 12, and he and fellow crewmen Frank Borman and William Anders became the first humans to leave the Earth's gravitational influence and travel to the moon on the Apollo 8 mission in 1968. On Lovell's fourth mission, he was commander of the infamous Apollo 13. Along with his crewmen, and more than a little help from controllers, he ably guided the stricken spacecraft back to a safe splashdown. Beginning at noon Eastern Time today, NASA TV will air a video file with highlights from Lovell's missions. You can find the web feed at nasa.gov/NTV. And finally, 35 years ago, Second Lieutenant Sally Murphy walked across a stage at Fort Rucker, Alabama, and stepped into U.S. Army history. It was 1974, and Murphy became the first woman to graduate from the Army Aviation School. She was the Army's first female helicopter and fixed-wing pilot. She retired as a colonel in 1999. She was honored in a formal ceremony last week at Fort Myer in Arlington, Virginia, and received the U.S. Army Freedom Team Salute Veteran Commendation for her 27 years of service and her place in military history. Sally is 60 years old now. Quote, "I was the only woman in Army Aviation School in the early 70s, and if I told you I did not have problems with a few people, I would not be truthful. But things were changing, and with the Vietnam War winding down, the Army needed to fill some voids. There were some tough times, but it made me stronger. The Army is a family, and there was always someone giving me encouragement and ready to assist me anytime I needed help, unquote. Freedom Team salute commendations consist of a personalized letter and certificate signed by the Secretary of the Army, Pete Garin, and the Army Chief of Staff, General George W. Casey, Jr. Honorees also receive official Army lapel pins and the Salute, a quarterly newsletter that contains information of interest to the Army family. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is aviation investment consultant Brian Foley, who says what he calls insincere sellers are a factor in driving unsold inventories of used business jets to record levels. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plagg. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.